Welcome to a podcast from Dig Radio. Melbourne trio The Dirty Three are Warren Ellis on violin, Mick Turner on guitar, and Jim White on drums. Since 1993, they've inspired and intimidated audiences around the world with their unmistakable post-rock soundscapes. For their seventh and most recent album, Cinder, The Dirty Three broke all their own rules, introducing brevity, bagpipes, bouzoukis, and in a first for the band, vocals. Sarah Ashley from Radio National's The Deep End spoke with the dirtiest of the three, Warren Ellis.
Ever since.
Thank you.
Dirty Three, live in the deep end, and that's Ever Since, the opening track from their latest CD, Cinder. Warren Ellis is the violinist with the Dirty Three. Warren, welcome to the deep end.
Thank you very much.
Now, Cinder, it's a bit of a departure for you guys, isn't it? Because you're well known for your songs that quite often clock sort of 8 or 9 or sometimes 10 minutes. And on this album, you've got songs sitting at a more conventional length. Was that intentional when you went into the studio?
Yes, it was intentional. We sort of met up in Melbourne and then went to Phillip Island and started working on some ideas that we individually had. And they started to suggest a smaller format. And we were interested to see how that affected the music that we made, because we've never actually put any constraints on the physical structure of the music. There's certainly always a structure to our stuff. We're not a free-form band. But this time we really made a conscious effort to trim it up a bit, use a pair of scissors.
One of the things that I've noticed about Cinder also is in the past your records have been very much a live performance and representational of what you do live. Cinder's got bagpipes and bouzoukis and mandolins and all sorts of overdubs.
Yes, I'd reached a point about 18 months before making this record where I was really felt like I was going round in circles with what I was doing on the fiddle. And I bought a mandolin and a bouzouki and I started using it, and used it a lot on the Bad Seeds album, Abattoir Blues and Lyre of Orpheus. And then my wife bought me a piano for my birthday, and I started trying to, I guess, looking at what different things I could bring to the table. And Mick had been playing organ and bass as well, and we decided to approach this record in a way of giving the songs what they seemed to suggest they might need. It was still done in the same way. Live, we all played in the same room. We always record live. We always do it very quickly. I think the longest we spent on the record is 6 days, which was this one. We go in, we recorded 24 tracks in 6 days with overdubs. The overdubs were done in a day, and very, very fast and very creatively. Like in the morning, I think bagpipes might be good. And Mick said, what a great idea. And Casey said, I know a pipe player. And then he called up and he's like, he can come in this afternoon. And he came in and it was like that. And the same with the vocals. Sean sang some of the songs, and Sally Timms sang some of the songs, suggested that some voice might be nice in there. And we thought, and I think we tried to record songs that almost went against the rules that have been suggested within the band. And rules seem to get developed after a while. After a certain amount of time, we've made, as you say, 7 records, we've done soundtracks, several EPs. We've been playing together for 15-odd years. And when you get to that point, certainly our band seemed to have developed a certain way of working and certain things, unwritten rules. And I guess we deliberately tried to work with the songs that might normally suggest themselves as being for this band. And it was actually a really liberating experience.
Now, you mentioned that there's some vocals on this, which is a massive departure after 7 albums of being purely instrumental. Mm. Do you reckon that's something that we'll see more of?
I don't know. It's certainly not something we've thought any more about. And it was because it seemed, just because it suggested itself that it might be good. And we had so many songs and short ones, and we were never a conceptualized band. We didn't go about to create this certain thing because, for any other reason than pure practical reasons, none of us could sing. And there was no PA in the place where we started playing. And
actually, that's a really interesting story. I didn't know that the way you formed was because a mate bought a small bar and they needed some live music.
Yes, he wanted live music and not playing CDs. And so we formed and went and played, and he thought it was interesting. We had 5 songs that we'd worked out that afternoon in my kitchen. We went down and we had to play 3 sets, so we made them incredibly long, the songs. And then we just would go down every week and throw everything in the car and start playing. And there was never anything really kind of thought out about.
It wasn't like you went, right, we're going to start a band that we don't have
really
a singer.
Yeah, it was really just what we had at our disposal.
So there's a pretty accidental nature of the whole thing, really, isn't it?
My whole thing has been very accidental. I never went into... I've always loved playing music. And I started playing in bands in the early 90s, I guess, and I never had an agenda with it as such. I didn't go into it for any other reason than the fact that I really liked it. I guess I've continued to play music in some way for the last 16 years. There was never really any premeditation with it, never thought. I've just kind of gone with what's going on, and it's kind of got me this far.
And this far is including apart from the film scores for Australian films, Praise and The Proposition, the Nick Cave scripted film, you've also just made your acting debut.
Yes, I did. I was invited to play in a film by an Italian director, and the film features Isabelle Huppert, and I'm accompanying her, and it's an adaptation of the Medea. And yes, it was. I'm sort of just playing in a bar with her for an endless amount of performances, and but that was really interesting to sort of be on the other end, and also to see somebody like her in action was a rare privilege, I think, to see how she works. It was just extraordinary.
Is it something that, I guess I'm just thinking about the many different things that you do, how they inform each other and what you bring back to the Dirty Three? You only work together every couple of years?
We work together, we work together when we can, and it's usually a few times throughout the year. We get together, when the album came out, we toured for 2 months in America and in Europe, and we were invited to play at Don't Look Back, where we... with the Stooges and a bunch of other bands, I can't remember, and we performed Ocean Songs from start to finish. Next year, we're coordinating all tomorrow's parties. We've been asked to pick all the bands for that. We're going to China or Taiwan a bit later on in the year. We go to Japan after this. And we fit it in with what other things that we're doing. Jim plays with other people. Mick does the solo thing. He paints. And Mick and I also have families, which is another thing, you know, that's another commitment, I guess, obviously a commitment. But it all is about balancing things up. And I guess we do these other things and bring them back. I mean, the Dirty Three still feels the closest to my heart because it's the thing that I've watched grow up. And it's the thing where I feel I have the most space to say what I want to say. I'm certainly given a lot of room in everything else that I do, and I've been fortunate, I guess, in the last few years to be asked to be involved in a lot of diverse things. But I think music is a language, and it's communication, and you're learning all the time from other people, and it would seem to me rather stagnating to be stuck with the same people. It feels really healthy. To be seeing other people, exactly, you know, to work with other people and see how they work, even if not in a musical way, to see, I mean, this sort of involvement with film has been really interesting as well. And doing soundtracks, and I recorded a thing of sea shanties at the start of the year with a whole bunch of different singers, and working with folk musicians, and I did a thing with Marianne Faithfull a few years ago, and I did a music recently for some theatre, for Wojciech, an adaptation, and working with the director of that, it's really fantastic to see how people, function and what skills they have, and that's, I think, a really great thing about working and being privy to seeing how these people work.
Well, it's been a great pleasure talking to you and also being privy to the way you work together as a band. And perhaps you could introduce the next song for us.
Okay. We have a little waltz for the ladies. It's called Amy. Thank you.
That was the Dirty Three's Warren Ellis in conversation with Sarah Ashley from The Deep End on Radio National. You can listen to Dig Radio 24 hours a day at abc.net.au/dig.